different. Many pulpits today are preaching from preaching the Word of God, the gospel of the precious risen Savior Jesus Christ, and that is a blessing. There's some that have taken opportunity to utilize the current situation around the world to find a soapbox to preach on, and that's their prerogative. And we find churches across the states are coming back together physically this weekend, last weekend, and today, and praise the Lord for them. We want to lift them up in prayer. It's Memorial Day in the United States. We want to recognize that, or Memorial Weekend. I, for one, grateful for those who have given their life that we may have freedom to do exactly what we're doing here now. And we should never forget that. We should always be willing to give honor and glory to those who have paid the ultimate price that we may have the freedom that we partake in today. But I do want to bring something to you this evening, not about Memorial Day, not about that sacrifice. I do want to bring a thought to you tonight that I believe it would be near and dear to your heart. Now, this is a message I have preached before, about 4 years ago, and I do think it's timely now. People in the states are going back together in certain states. They are already meeting back physically with social distancing and this and that. And we here in the United Kingdom are not. The churches are still effectively closed to physical attendance. However, we're able to come and preach and perform live services to bring to your front door, bring them right into your house. And I'm saying all that to say this tonight is I want to bring a thought to you. A message titled, A Simple Truth of Serving Our Savior. A Simple Truth of Serving Our Savior. We are going to turn in the Scriptures quite a few times tonight. I would not say this is necessarily an expository sermon, of which I'm more accustomed to preaching, but I want to bring this thought to you tonight. I do believe that despite the lockdown, despite the things that are going on around us, I believe that we can apply these into our hearts and our mind, that we can apply these principles into our days, and that we can apply them and have Christian growth in the way that we should, whether we're in this church or whether we're meeting at home. I will say, let me say one thing before I go into the message tonight. I believe one of the most detrimental aspects of the human race, whether it be Christian growth, whether it be business, especially in a marriage, or whether it be parental advice or guidance, I believe complacency is a death nail placed into whatever it may be. If complacency is found in leadership, if it's found in the church, if it's found in the Christian growth, if complacency is found in marriages, if it's found in your parental guidance, whatever, once complacency has found its root, I believe it is a death nail placed into whatever it's implemented into. And so, beloved, tonight I want us to cover these simple truths of serving our Savior in the midst of a lockdown, in the midst of a time where it is very easy and even justifiable to become complacent. Just to become complacent, sat there on the settee and forgetting about the church pews. To become complacent with what you're doing at home, making things more convenient. And again, we are doing what we can now, but I believe we ought to still try to grow. And these are some simple truths tonight. John chapter 5 is where I ask you to turn your Bibles back to, as Brother Preston has already read in our daily reading of the evening. John chapter 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Father in heaven, we come before you tonight and we ask for your help. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your grace. We pray that the words that you have given us here before us this evening, purified and preserved perfectly, we pray, dear Lord, that you would please inject them upon the hearts and the souls of every person that will hear this message tonight. Allow us to avoid the trap, the snare of complacency. Let us ever, Lord, let us ever be willing to grow in the loving grace that you've given us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. So tonight, beloved, we need to cover these simple truths of serving our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just, in order to do so, in order to cover this, Jesus asked this question to these Jews. He asked this question to these people because they were rejecting Him, yet they claimed they believed God. They claimed they believed the prophets. They claimed they believed the law. They claimed they believed Moses, and yet Moses and the prophets and the law wrote of Jesus Christ. And so He asked this question, how shall you believe my words? The most important book in the history of mankind, as well as its future, is the book, the Word of God. We call it the Bible, amen. Now, I'm basically tonight, I realize that I am more or less speaking to those who are already saved and born again. But if you have found yourself listening to this message tonight, don't disregard it. Don't disregard it. Don't throw it away, because you can easily call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be gloriously saved for all eternity right here and right now, and make sure that this message applies to your heart and to your mind right today. I understand that. I understand that those who have spiritually signed the agreement, surrendering their eternal lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, this will probably apply to a little bit more than someone else. But I will assure you this evening, if you'll just hang in there, if you'll just buckle in your pew belt and get that Bible out and read along with these words, I trust you tonight the Lord will make a difference in your life. I promise you that. By far, the most essential attribute in serving the Savior, the most essential truth, simple truth, I should say, in serving the Savior is identical to that of receiving the Savior. The one key ingredient in a Christian's life tonight for health, wealth, and wisdom is that they first must believe, amen. They first must believe. Remember, Jesus Christ said, how shall you believe my word? Beloved, the health life of a Christian, the health life of a child of God begins and ends with believing this book. If you are going to be saved and born again to the blood of Christ this evening, you are going to do so by believing what is written in this book. You don't have to believe a waffle with somebody's face on it. You don't have to believe some kind of sign. You don't have a neon light written for you to believe. You simply have tonight this book, effectively, in this King James, the AV 1611, this King James Bible, when you put your faith and your trust and your belief in what this Bible says, that's when you get into the body of Christ. That's when you are saved and born again. But as you grow, the end of our life settles with believing this book. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. I told you I was going to ask you to turn quite a bit tonight. I want you to look over here and 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2 is where we'll be. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And we'll look there in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians and verse 13. Chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There's that word again. My friend, when the Word of God is preached, the most detrimental response is to accuse the preaching of the Word of God as being the Word of man. I take into account that there are plenty of men in this world today preaching in their own word. I get that. I know there are men that are standing in pulpits right now somewhere in the world, and they're preaching their own words, their own agenda, their own ways. But my friend, there's a simple reason why men get into the pulpit and preach their own ways, their own agendas, their own words, is because they do not believe. My friend, if you believe this book to be true right now, you would run away from your own agenda. If you believe this book to be true and everything that is said in it, you would run away from your own opinion. You would run away from anything because you believe what is written therein. When one does not believe the book, number one, we find they criticize the book. When someone does not believe the book, they criticize the book. Beloved, You must believe the Word of God. You should not be able, listen, if you believe the Word of God today, you should never, ever, ever be able to be talked out of this Bible right here, out of this book. No matter who's speaking, no matter who's saying anything. Do you know what the Bible critic says? The Bible critic places their own opinion higher than the opinion of God. And they say things like this, well, that's your opinion. They'll say, well, that's your interpretation. They'll say, well, that works for you. Those are criticisms of the only perfect thing in this world today, the perfect Word of God. A Bible critic becomes a Bible corrector. And they don't correct anything. They want to try to correct the book, try to correct the Bible. That's number two. Beloved, this crowd today assumes themselves to be smarter, more educated, more enlightened than Peter, Paul, and John and the rest of them. They're only assuming to be, and by doing so, when they assume to be smarter and more enlightened, more illuminated, more inspired than Peter, Paul, or John, or any of those guys, they're only assumed to be smarter than God Himself. For God Himself spoke to these men. For God Himself wrote to these men. For God Himself moved these men in a manner like He moved no other. So when you act as if you are smarter than these men, you're assuming you're smarter than God Himself. Turn over into the book of Galatians. I already forewarned you. I told you we're going to turn quite a bit tonight. Look at Galatians in chapter 1 with me. Galatians in chapter 1. Look at Paul's response to this crowd who assumed themselves to be smarter than God. Again, who assumed to correct the Word of God and correct the book. Again, let me say this. Those who do not believe criticize the book. Those who criticize the book try to correct the book. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You know what the word pervert means? Let me stop you there. We're going to read down to verse 9. Let me stop you there for a second. The word pervert means to malalign. Now we call people out there who do nasty things perverts. They're malaligning themselves with what they are doing. They're doing something that is inherently wrong. They're perverts. But when you pervert the Word of God, you are malaligning, you are twisting the Word of God. Verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now, I say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have received, let him be accursed. My friend, let me tell you something here. Paul had some harsh language for those who try to correct the book. But Paul even includes himself. He even says, listen, if I myself ever preach anything other than the gospel, listen, let me be accursed, he's saying. You say, how's that? Because Paul knew that he was only a man. He knew that if he went off his rocker, if he went loopy, if he went crazy in the head and started preaching something silly, he knew that the possibility of that happening. He says, but we or an angel or anything like that. These people teach these things that two angels visited them and gave them some hidden tablets, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. They are perverting the Word of God. They are perverts to the gospel of Christ. And Paul says harshly, let them be accursed. He's talking about those that criticize the book and try to correct the book. And eventually, when people criticize the book, they will condemn the book. They will condemn the book. What is commonly missed by those who believe not the book, who believe not the Word of God, is that they are only hurting themselves and those that are around them. Turn over to 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll give you time to get there. 2 Peter chapter 3. I jumped ahead a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look down at the last few verses there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look with me in verse 16. The Bible says here, it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of those things, in which are some things hard to be understood, Peter says, which they that are, watch these next words, unlearned and unstable rest. That's the same word for wrestle. As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now look at that. These people who condemn the Word of God, who tried to correct the Word of God, who criticize the Word of God, they become emblems of pain and hurt and dismemberment of their own selves and those that are around them. But Peter is making it very clear. He's making it clear. He goes, the only ones that it's hard to understand, the only ones who are wrestling with it are the unlearned and unstable. Wishy-washy people jumping here, jumping there. Unlearned people who look not to increase their knowledge of the Word of God, but just correct it, condemn the thing. But Peter doesn't stop. He doesn't just mention the sea. He's talking, the context of verses 16 and 17 is in relation to verse 15. Speaking about, he says, our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. Hey, he makes it clear that, hey, some of the things that he says, man, they're hard preaching, he says. The things that Paul had preached, the things that Paul had wrote in his letters, the same people that are wrestling what Paul preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're also wrestling with all the Old Testament. They're wrestling with every one of the other scriptures, Peter makes that clear, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. My friend, the simple thing is this, they wrestle with the scriptures because they are unlearned and unstable. They are unlearned and unstable because they simply will not believe. Simple belief, man. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a scholar of anything. My soul. There's many people who learn how to read by reading that AB 1611 right there. You don't have to be an educated person. You don't have to be someone with 14 degrees behind your name to understand the Word of God. All you need is to believe the Word of God. Therefore, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you bearing witness upon you of what it is saying. People who criticize and correct and condemn the book, they're merely doing so. They are destructive deadbeats, my friend, who only complain about the Bible. They do not agree. They do not accept its authority. And this is where their disdain lies. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20 and 21, He says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Beloved, if you do not believe the book, you cannot produce others to believe the book. If you do not believe the Word of God, you will never produce anyone else to believe the Word of God. If you do not believe the Bible, everything is written in there, you will not produce those that will believe the book. Liars produce liars. The prideful produce prideful. Infidelity produces infidels. Doubters produce doubt. And despisers produce despisers. That's all there is to it. I've never in my life, in my 48 years of living, seen an apple tree produce oranges. Never. They will not get away with not believing the book, my friend. The book of Jeremiah tells us in verse 28 through 30, he says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. My friend, you've got to believe the book. You've got to believe the Bible if you want to grow in this world today. Listen, if you want to be saved and born again and have eternal life, you're going to have to believe what is written in these words right here. It's that simple tonight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at John chapter 8 with me. John chapter 8. We'll get to point number 2 here in about 60 seconds. John chapter 8, look at verse 47. Let's look at the simplicity of the sea. In John chapter 8, verse 47. John chapter 8. The Bible says, he that is of God, watch this, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now can I say this to you tonight, that it is a simple choice to believe what is written in this book. It's that simple tonight. Believe the Word. Believe the Word of God as it is written. Don't worry. Hey, listen, my pastor told me, don't worry about what it says. Don't worry about what it means. Just worry about what it says. It's that simple. So, beloved, when you believe the book, when you believe the Bible, point number 2, this is when you can build. Not before, but afterwards. You cannot build anything on a spiritual rock lest you believe a spiritual word. Look in Acts chapter 20 with me. Acts chapter 20. I'll give you time to get there tonight. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 is where we're going to be. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, almost toward down the end of the chapter. But watch what the Bible says here. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are which are sanctified." Which are sanctified. What is the key? My friend, what is the key to building anything? It's the foundation. It's the foundation. We already read this verse this morning. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now the Bible tells us clearly that the name of Jesus is exalted above any name and all names and all of creation, and yet His Word is exalted above even His name. The key to building is the foundation. The foundation then of building is believing. The ingredient to believe is believe the precious book, the Word of God. Look at Matthew 7. Turn over to Matthew 7 with me. I'll give you a free one here. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It's a free one. It's probably not in your outline. Matthew 7 verse 22. Look what the Bible says. "Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine..." Don't read over that. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine..." What is being said? Can I ask you that question? What's being said? Words are being said. Words. The Word of God. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended down, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon sand. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." It's that simple tonight. If you're going to build, you're going to have to build on a rock-solid foundation. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." In order to build on the foundation, you got to have a floor plan. Number two. If you're going to build on the foundation, you got to have a floor plan. Paul exhorted Titus to teach young men. Notice what he says in Titus 2:7 on your screen. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Guys, a pattern is the same thing as a floor plan. Where do you get that floor plan? You get it from the Word of God. We have been given a book, we've been given this Bible to believe, which laid the foundation, set the floor plan so that we, my friend, can finish. Jesus Christ says, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, to finish His work. Simple truth in serving the Savior. In lockdown, out of lockdown. So, my friend, the first thing, the very key ingredient that's going to get you in the body of Christ and get you through the body of Christ of growth is what? Is believing the book. Believing the Word of God. Once you believe the Word of God, that's when you begin to build in your Christian life. You begin to grow. You begin to grow in grace. You begin to grow in knowledge. You begin to grow in good fruits. And you begin to grow in just in your entire life of doing the right thing, hearing the Word of God, and doing them. Setting a pattern of good works. That's the floor plan, my friend. No, the good works don't save you, but they are a byproduct of that which did save you. Why? So we can finish. So my friend, when you believe this Bible, when you believe the Word of God, when you believe the book, you can build on that book, which prepares us for the battle. Which prepares us for the battle. Beloved, I thought it was interesting when studying out the Word of God, especially for this message years back. I thought it was really interesting to find out that the word battle occurs in the Bible 163 times. 163 times. That's a load of times, man. 163 times it's found in this Bible. Did you know it's only mentioned one time during the church age? Ain't that something? Out of 163 times, 162 of those occurrences only exist outside of the church age. I wonder why. Because the war is won, my friend. The war is won. Here, the battle we fight is only a struggle. It's a fight per se. It's a little scrap here today. Because you know what? When you believe the book, when you believe the Bible, It brings true strength, guys. People look at on the outside of man today and this person's strong, they can lift this, they can do that, or they have a strong personality. I've heard that time and time and time again, and I get that, I understand it. True strength comes from believing that Word of God, because that Word of God doesn't change. No matter what or who tries to change it and pervert it and remove this and add that, the true Word of God doesn't change. So if the true Word of God doesn't change, your strength is found in that which is unchangeable. The Bible tells me, I am God. I change not. So we're looking at the battle. Belief brings strength. Last time I'll ask you to turn tonight, turn to the book of Ephesians. I told you it was going to be turned over a lot. Quite a bit. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, and you guys know you know the verse quite well, I'm sure you do. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 11 with me. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now guys, the word wiles means methods. His methods have never changed. He wants to cause doubt in the Word of God. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. That's the very first thing he did. His very first sin while he was still Lucifer in heaven was to reject the Word of God, because he said, I will be like the Most High. And that fifth thing that Lucifer said got him kicked out of the third heaven. And he landed down here on this earth and made a wreck of it. Adam and Eve come along. First thing he does, yea, hath God said, he caused doubt of the Word of God. That's his method. That's where it starts. He wants you to doubt the perfection of the Word of God. Ultimately, she started to dabble with the Word of God. She says, hey, we can't eat of it, neither shall we touch it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 never said anything about not touching it. But she added to the Word of God. And from that point forward, thou shalt not surely die. You get the denial of the Word of God. His methods have never changed. He's going to attack the Word. But if you believe the book today, you can find your strength from within the book. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Beloved, our battle is not here on this earth. Our battle is in spiritual places, which can only be defeated in the first line of defense, and that's believing the only offensive weapon that we are given. There's only one offensive weapon. Look at them. Verses 14 through 18, we'll read them and then we'll go over them. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Loins girt about with truth. You having your loins girt about with truth, my friend? That's a defensive weapon. The breastplate of righteousness? That's a defensive weapon. Feet shod for the preparation of the gospel of peace? That's a defensive weapon. The shield of faith? That's a defensive weapon. The helmet of salvation? That is a defensive weapon. And it all comes around where it started. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only offensive weapon we have. You attacking with the sword of the Word of God, sword of the Spirit. You defend with the shield of faith. Now I know you say, well, what about prayer? Prayer is your preparatory weapon. Prayer is, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That's the preparatory weapon. And in the battle, all of them are defensive, except for one. And that's your Word of God. Beloved, it all stems on belief. Simple truth of serving our Savior tonight. Simple truth. Simple. Believe, build for the battle. Believe in the book. Enables you to build, preparing you for the battle in this world today. A spiritual battle that we wrestle with spiritual wickedness in high places. A battle that is not seen with the eyes of mankind or with the physical eyes, but a battle that is going on, the battle of the ages between good and evil. And we must today prepare ourselves in prayer defend ourselves with our weapons, but be ready to attack with the very weapon that Jesus Christ did Himself. And that's the Word of God. Beloved, that's the simple truth of serving the Savior tonight. And I pray this evening that you would simply believe the book, build upon it, so that you will be ready for the battle when the time comes. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together tonight. I thank you for your precious word that we can put our faith, trust, and dependence in, that we can believe no matter what goes on around us, that we can believe without a shadow of a doubt. So, Lord, we love you. And I ask you, Lord, if there's anyone who has tuned in today, knows you not as Lord and Savior, that they would make that first step to believe what is written in the Word of God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, this I ask, that you may bring the increase, that you may win the soul, that, Father, we may see fruit of thy labor. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. I hope and pray.